Friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his precious Holy Spirit. Amen. A brief word, my wife and I are both retired pastors, and we are members here, but we always attend the early service, so I don't know a lot of you. And our twin sons and their wives and families also attend here, Miranda being one of those, and we've been happy to be a part of this church. We graduated from seminary with Pastor Jeff Isley. So we've known Pastor Jeff as a friend for a long, long time. On with the message. I cannot remember a time when I did not know Psalm 23. That's probably even true for many of you. Even if you hardly remember any Bible verse, don't have any Bible verse memorized, even if you can't find a verse in the Bible when you really need it, you probably know these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When I hear those words, I can picture myself sitting in Mrs. Weckworth's Sunday school class. Behind her was a painting that was hanging on the wall. It was a painting of Jesus holding a little lamb, and other sheep are gathered around him, and behind them the clouds are dark and threatening. Some people say that Psalm 23 is a psalm for children. I say it's a psalm for everyone. For everyone and anyone who has childlike trust. Trust that Jesus will protect us like a shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Sounds great, doesn't it? So restful, so reassuring. A shepherd doesn't let sheep drink from dangerous, fast-moving waters. After all, the dumb sheep might fall in, right, and drown. I grew up on the farm in west central Minnesota, and a couple of our neighboring farmers raised sheep, and once in a while I would get hired to help out with some of their farming jobs. And working with sheep, I can guarantee you, sheep are dumb. So they need to be taken care of. And the shepherd finds just the right spot for his sheep to be taken care of, to safely drink, to safely rest. The psalm continues, "He leads me in right paths for his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." As we grow older, we find ourselves walking into a valley that is getting darker and darker. But even in the darkest part of the valley, we are not met by the darkness of death. No, there we are met by the Good Shepherd. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." It's verses like this that make this psalm a favorite old friend. And one of the best things about true friendship is that it lasts a lifetime. As a pastor, I've noticed that as some people get closer and closer to death, they reach out to this old friend, Psalm 23. And it isn't just because they know it by heart. It's because this psalm dares to speak about the end of life. It dares to speak about the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. At a lot of funerals, this psalm is invited to speak a word or two over the grave. It speaks for us when it says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Whenever we face tough times, whenever we have been tossed and turned by the raging rivers of life, it was this old friend, Psalm 23, who reminded us of the green pastures and the still waters where our souls can be restored. Whenever we wandered and felt like we'd lost our direction in life, whenever we felt like life had lost its meaning, good old Psalm 23 was there to point out the right paths for his name's sake. Whenever the hard knocks of life made us wonder if God was really even there for us, does God even care? Psalm 23 was there to put its comforting arm around us and tell us that God does indeed care. God leads us. God restores us. In darkness or in light, in life or in death, God makes it possible for us to dwell in him. Good old Psalm 23. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." But a moment here. Psalm 23 was originally written in Hebrew, and sometimes a Hebrew word can have more than one meaning, but we are limited in that we can only translate it into one English word. This is the case with the word follow, as is used in "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The word follow could also be translated pursue. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. Pursue me. Think about that. Here we are, trudging along, going about our life, and who's that behind me? Oh, that's goodness and mercy. They're following me. Wait a sec. Actually, it kind of looks like they're pursuing me. They're chasing me. Do you think you know the shepherd of Psalm 23? Well, let me tell you, you don't really know him until you realize that he is a pursuer. There's a big difference between being followed and being pursued. There's a big difference between looking over your shoulder and finding your dear old friends. Goodness and mercy are just tagging along there behind you. But then there is pursuit, looking over your shoulder and realizing you're being pursued. There is a breathless goodness and mercy behind you, ready to pounce. The Lord is my shepherd, we say. And the shepherd leads us into those quiet places. He knows where we can be refreshed. But then Jesus, the good shepherd, told us about the good shepherd. And when the good shepherd discovered that one of his stupid sheep had strayed away, the good shepherd left the 99 and pursued the one that had wandered away. Now, what do we Lutherans tend to say about the lost, those who've strayed from our flock? Sometimes a friend will say to another friend, "You know, you've done all you can for that boy. There are limits to what a parent can do. It's time for you to let him go. He'll come back when he's ready." That's called the Bo Peep theory of discipleship. You know the old nursery rhyme? Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and doesn't know where to find them. Leave them alone and they'll come to home, wagging their tails behind them. A teenager gets confirmed, they leave, and some Lutherans say, don't worry, they'll come home wagging their tails behind them. When they want to get married, when they want to get their children baptized, when they want to get their kids into Sunday school, just leave them alone and they'll come home. People of God, this is not what a shepherd does. The shepherd pursues until he finds the one who was lost and brings it back into the fold. Jesus said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." In other words, there is no limit to his pursuit of us. Jesus is the shepherd who is always out there, always seeking and pursuing. You and I, we wander around. We go down some crooked paths. We fall into raging rivers of life. We stagger into the darkest valleys. But Jesus has pursued us. He grabs us. And he says, "Gotcha." Jesus never gives up on you and me. He never gives up on anyone. In the end, he is always, always going to say, "Gotcha." Let me tell you about my seventh grade math teacher, Mr. Johnson. All of us kids were afraid of Mr. Johnson. And why? We were afraid of him because he was a mean old man. He was resentful. And he was bitter. Some people said he had a right to be resentful and bitter. His beloved wife had died giving birth to their only child, but the baby girl had died a few days later. Mr. Johnson never went to church again. When he was an old man, they carried him into the hospital. No one visited him. No one sent him flowers. Mr. Johnson went to the hospital to die alone. But there was this girl at the hospital. She went to my high school. Back then, she was what we called candy stripers, part of the volunteers who wore those red and white striped uniforms. And since they were red and white striped, they were called candy stripers. The candy striper was there to help out at the hospital, change diapers, visit patients, even help patients with simple things. She visited Mr. Johnson. And she was nice to this old, mean man. And it had been a long time since anyone had been nice to Mr. Johnson. It had been such a long time that Mr. Johnson didn't know how to act. He told her, "Go away. Leave me alone." But she would just smile and try to get him to eat his jello. At night, she would tuck him in, and he would growl, "I don't need anyone to help me." But soon Mr. Johnson became too weak to fight off her goodness and mercy. After her duties were done, she would pull up a chair and sit by Mr. Johnson's bed, and she would sing to him while she held his wrinkled old hand. And he looked at her, and he wondered if he could see the face of the little girl that he never got to see grow up. She patted him on the hand and said good night. And for the first time in decades, Mr. Johnson said, "God bless you." As she left the room, I am very, very sure that there were two others who stayed in the room. And they were whispering in the old man's ear. The last thing Mr. Johnson heard before slipping away into that dark valley, the last thing he heard was, "Gotcha." Goodness and mercy said, "Gotcha." They said it as they stood by his bed. Jesus never stopped pursuing Mr. Johnson, and he will never stop pursuing you and me. He will never stop pursuing any of us until we hear these words whispered in our ears, "Gotcha." Amen.